From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. First of all, emerging artists for you tonight. Websites at coasttocoastam.com or georgenorrie.com. Next hour, worlds and realities beyond the known. Get ready for that. One of those classic Sunday Coast to Coast programs. Here's what's happening. Tens of thousands of people whose homes were damaged by Storm Sandy could soon need housing. Now cold weather is closing in. Homes without heat would become uninhabitable as temperatures plummet. New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg put the figure at 30 to 40,000 people could be higher. At least 106 deaths in the U.S. alone, 40 of them in New York City, have been blamed on Sandy, which struck last week. Say a prayer for those people. Sky watchers should be alert for fireballs in the night sky. Forecasters say Earth is entering a swarm of debris from Comet Encke. Meteors the size of pebbles and small stones hitting Earth's atmosphere are producing a slow drizzle of very bright fireballs flying out of the constellation Taurus. Dr. Mark Geyer, who directs autism clinics in St. Peter's and Springfield, Illinois, has lost his medical licenses in Missouri and Illinois. Following similar disciplinary actions in at least nine other states, Geyer has gotten into trouble for prescribing the testosterone-suppressing drug Lupron to children and teenagers with autism. The treatment plan has been called dangerous, abusive, and exploitive by various medical boards. A very sad story in Pittsburgh. A little boy was standing on an observation deck about 14 feet above an exhibit at the Pittsburgh Zoo. He fell into it. He was killed by African painted dogs. Supporters for President Barack Obama and Republican nominee Mitt Romney projected outward confidence in each candidate's ability to win on Election Day. As the final NBC News Wall Street Journal poll shows, a close race nationally between the two candidates. Their top supporters squabbled over who held the upper hand in critical battleground states. Let's check in with investment advisor Mish Shedlock. Mish, it is going to be very close, don't you think?
I don't know. It depends on what you mean by close. Actually, I think Obama has a 85% chance of winning here. When you look at all of these polls, Obama just now today pulled ahead nationally by 0.5%. Now, the margin of error on these polls is like several percent. However, when you look at who's doing the polls, and take a look at Ohio, that's a really good case here today. The 1, 2, 3, 4, about 13 or 14 polls out, all of them but Rasmussen had Obama in the lead by anywhere from 1 to 5 points. Rasmussen had it as a tie. Now, because we're saying that the average of these is Obama's only 2.9% ahead, they're saying, well, that's within the margin of error of 3%, and it's a tie. But realistically, if it was just one poll, George, if we went out there and said, you know, just one person doing it, well, it could be sampling error. But when you got 13 people doing all of these samples, you accumulate them all up together, the odds that he wins Ohio is like 85 or 90%. And you can say the same thing for Virginia and Wisconsin. They're calling Pennsylvania a toss-up state. A lot of these states are calling toss-up states are not realistically toss-ups. So I'm going to say, I mean, I'll eat crow. We'll be on Tuesday night.
You're on election night with us. That's right.
But I think it's about an 85, 90% chance. And I'm not voting for Obama. I'm just telling you what I think the results will be.
Well, you know, we've had a number of people who have made the same kind of predictions, Mish, as you have. You know, it's all going to come down to a couple things. One, how many Americans go to the polls on Election Day, and what they do when they're in that very private little room, that little box, that little cubicle, when they decide to cast their vote.
That's it, George. That's the unknown. Are people telling, are people responding to these polls the way they're actually going to vote? That's actually Romney's hope here. It's, you know, we can't say that it's going to be that these polls are biased. There's just too many polls now. Are people telling the truth, and will the people vote that said they're going to vote? That's what's going to determine the election. And I'm going to say that people are probably going to get out. They're probably going to do what they said they were going to do. That translates to about an 85-90% chance for Obama.
Is it possible one candidate can get the popular vote while the other gets the electoral?
That is possible. I think if Obama gets the national vote, and he just pulled ahead today, so I don't know. I'm guessing it's as a result of his handling of the hurricane, and people perceive that he handled it well. I mean, even the candidates, the governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, came out glowing praise. I mean, that's got to help him in some nearby states like Virginia. And actually, Obama is pulling ahead now in Virginia. So we're seeing these kinds of things. We had that big shift. I mean, Obama certainly blew that first debate. I mean, it was a disaster story. But now, because of his handling of the hurricane, and it's, you know, luck of the draw here. I mean, who's going to figure out that a hurricane and he's going to handle it well? Had he handled it badly, he would have lost the election. So, you know, this is, you know, just a last-minute thing that actually might have tilted it in his favor.
Okay, Mitch, thanks, and you'll be on with us election night. As a matter of fact, a couple of things I want to say. I got an interesting email today, and I agree with the person. He said, George, some of your guests come on and they talk about the president, but they don't mention the fact that he's the president. They call him by his last name, Obama, and he needs that respect. And I agree with that. And I've told that to several of our guests. I didn't say it to Mish right now, but Mish is listening to the program. Any standing president, whether you like them or not, you should continue to call them the president, not just their last name. That's my take on it. I don't know how you feel about that. On election night, we're going to have a number of guests on the program. John Curtis, Greg Hunter, Mish Shedlock will be back. The numbers lady, Glynis McCants, John Hogue, of course. He'll be talking about prophecy. And, of course, we will have a special hour of open lines with you in the last hour of the program Tuesday night, a vital night that steers the direction of our country for the next 4 years. We shall see what happens together, and we'll get your reaction, and we'll have our guests right here on Coast to Coast AM on election night, Tuesday night. In a moment, you've heard stories about angels. We're going to share some with you. Angels in My Hair. Lorna Byrne is next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. You're going to hear an incredible story this hour. Lorna Byrne has seen and talked to angels since she was a little baby. She sees angels every day, and she sees them physically just as she would a person sitting in front of her. Lorna kept quiet about what she was seeing and hearing until she was about 3 years old. Did they believe her? Let's check in with her. Lorna, how are you? Welcome to the program.
I'm thrilled to be talking with you, George, this early hour of the morning here in Ireland.
Oh, it sure is. You're a long, long way. Now, tell me, first of all, there's so much I want to talk with you about, just about you, first of all, before we get into angels. But when you saw them every day as a little kid, as a baby, what did you see? What do they look like to you?
Well, I suppose maybe the first thing to say is I didn't even know they were angels. At that time, I was about 2 and a half maybe when they told me they were angels. They're actually very, very beautiful. I see the guardian angel behind every single person. And the guardian angel is, what would I say, a very powerful force behind someone, and much brighter than other angels, and nearly always at times wouldn't give a male or female appearance. I know they do that for us as such, you know, so that I can describe them. And they're extremely beautiful angels. Now, on before they give a human appearance within themselves, I'd actually find it very, very hard to describe them.
Do they have, if you can tell us, do they have the traditional wings that we see in so many paintings and pictures?
I have to smile at that now, George, because at times, you know, I don't see any wings at all. And other times, yes, but a billion times more beautiful. You know, sometimes an angel would show wings and would show them as feathers, but the feathers would just stand out so much and would be so, so perfect. And sometimes an angel's wings would be so tall and slender. And sometimes I would say, you know, just like the air itself or like silk, you know, and just full of light. And even at other times, you know, I would see an angel's wings and they would be like little mirrors, you know, constantly moving. But I don't always see angels' wings. Actually, when an angel allows me to see wings, I actually feel very privileged. But I do believe that all angels have wings, even though they don't allow me to see them all the time.
Lorna, when you started talking about seeing angels, and you were around 3 years old or so, little tiny baby, what did your parents say? I mean, did they believe you? Did they think this was the imagination of a little girl?
I have to correct you now a little bit. No, actually, the angels told me to keep it a secret.
Oh, they told you to keep it?
Yeah, to keep it a secret and not to say anything to anybody. And the reason they did that was because, I know I can't even pronounce this word very well, I'm actually dyslexic.
Dyslexic?
That's it, yeah.
You came close enough. That's all that matters.
Did I? Okay. I had learning difficulties, and way back in Ireland at that time, if a child had any, you know, learning difficulties of any kind or seemed to be slow, they were branded, and I was branded by the doctors that I was retarded. So I was put into the back of the class, and I understood as a child, as I grew, why the angels had said to keep it a secret. Because if I had said to my mom and dad, there's an angel there beside you, I see your guardian angel, I actually wouldn't be here talking to you.
You know what, I agree with you.
Yeah, I would have been put into an institution, because Ireland was full of institutions at that time. So I'm so glad I kept the secret, and being a child, I suppose it was easier to keep the secret.
Well, how long did you keep the secret, Lorna?
I have really kept it all my life until the first book was published, Angels in My Hair. I didn't really tell anyone. And, you know, I always say to people, you have to remember that God chose this time. I didn't. As a child, they used to say to me, you know, Lorna, you're going to write about God and us. And, you know, even as I grew into a teenager and a mother and got married and everything like that, I kind of really didn't take much notice. It was only the time when Angel Michael came up behind me when I was pushing the pram with my young daughter in it, and he just said, Lorna, it's getting near time for you to write about God and us, you know, that I actually stopped wheeling the pram, looked at him, and just said, but Michael, I can't even read or write. And you have to remember that. I couldn't. Barely, it was difficult enough to even write my own name. And he just said help would be sent. And that's exactly what happened, I suppose, from that moment on. Eventually, when I did say yes, my whole life has been a miracle.
Indeed. Lorna, we all have our views on angels, but I want to hear from you firsthand what you believe angels to be, why they're here in this existence, what their purpose is.
Their purpose is an awful lot. It is actually to help us. And we have to remember, you know, each and every person has a guardian angel, regardless of their religion, whether they're Catholic or Protestant or Jewish or Muslim or any other religion. I see angels physically, and I see the guardian angel with every single person. I haven't seen anybody in the world at the moment, you know, and I've been traveling an awful lot without a guardian angel. I know if I ever did, I would actually be shocked. I don't know what to think. The world needs that hope, you know.
Sure.
You know, I have written a book at the moment called A Message of Hope, and it's coming out in America on Election Day, and I have to smile because...
good day for it.
It is incredible, you know, that it's happening that particular day. And because people need hope, you know, so much has happened right across the world. And, you know, God wants to give back the world hope, wants to give people back faith and belief again. And I suppose when I was a young child and I used to see the Angel of Hope, now I didn't know this angel was the Angel of Hope at the time. But it was when I grew and got older, at times the angels would explain to me who this particular angel was. And I actually saw him very seldom. But I see him now every single day. Like the last time I was in New York in Times Square, mm-hmm. I was up, I think, on the 42nd floor. And there I saw, as I looked, you know, I was looking down and watching all of the people and seeing the guardian angels and all the other angels with them. And then I was told to look across, you know, at all the skyscrapers, and there I saw this beautiful angel. The only way I can describe him, he's like a giant, he's like a flame. And within that flame, it's like a, you see a masculine appearance, a male in that sense. And he is just so beautiful. And one of the things that he does is he holds this huge torch. And I only can describe the torch as like the Olympic torch, because that's what it reminds me. But it's glowing so brightly. And just seeing the angel of hope, you know, turning and beckoning to everybody on that day in America, encouraging them to see the light of hope, was, to me, incredible. You know, one thing that always astonishes me about the angel of hope is that, you know, he's always in front of people, and I can't figure out how he does that. And at that day, when looking out the hotel window, I could only see his head and shoulders. I couldn't see the rest of him. And then just, you know, him moving in and out, you know, between those big buildings and moving away and beckoning to everybody. To me, we need hope, and we have to remember, you know, I see the angel of hope now every single day. Not a day passes.
Let me ask you this, though. You said earlier that people of all religions all have guardian angels. What about non-believers? What about atheists? Do they still have guardian angels with them?
They do, and I have to smile. Even if you're not a even if you yourself is a non-believer or skeptic in any way, I just have to smile, because I know that if I was in the same studio as you, face to face, I would see your guardian angel, whether you believe or not. Even if somebody is, you know, people say to me, how on earth can somebody that is bad have a guardian angel? I'm afraid they do. God has given each and every one of us, regardless of our religion or whether we believe or not, a guardian angel as a gift that never leaves us for one second. So we're never, never alone. And your guardian angel loves you unconditionally and sees you yourself, that you are perfect, even though other people don't see you perfect, or don't see yourself perfect.
That brings up an interesting question. As you well know, Lorna, there are good people and bad people on this planet.
Yeah, there are
people who harm other people. There are evil people. There are murderers. There are serial killers. They're out here. Does a serial killer have a guardian angel? And if so, why doesn't that guardian angel stop him somehow? Or her?
I would love to have the answer to that. And the only answer I have is that the guardian angel is not allowed to give up on that person, because each and every one of us have a soul that's the speck of light of God. And your guardian angel is to do everything possible to bring that soul back home to heaven, to God, when the body dies. Because each and every one of us live forever. I know your guardian angel, even of a very bad person or a murderer, is doing everything possible, you know, for that person not to do that wrong. But sometimes people, what would I say to you? We just don't listen.
If these angels get rewarded at all, I guess it's pretty tough for the ones who have to watch murderers and people like that.
I know it must be. But yet I know the guardian angel doesn't give up, because it just can't, and it can't overstep that boundary of free will either. And I wish there wasn't bad people in the world. I wish people would listen to their guardian angel and would have that love and kindness in their heart and not hurt each other. You know, the way the world has got today, or, you know, with the Celtic Tiger, even here in Ireland, people became very selfish and greedy and mean, and in a sense weren't listening to their guardian angel in any way, would do whatever they felt was needed to be done, you know, to, you know, destroy someone else in order to gain more material things. And people have to remember that's not what life is about, you know, just the material things. We have a spiritual side, and we have to reach out and help each other. And that's mainly what the angels are trying to do, to get us to do. I know people all around the world say, why all these crises happening, you know, financial and all of that. And I would say to everybody that what has happened in the world, you know, this Celtic Tiger falling asunder, is a miracle in disguise to bring us back to reality, to realize what's what's the most precious thing, and the most precious thing is each other.
All right, Lorna, you stay with us. We're gonna come back in just a moment. We're going to take phone calls with you or people who want to share some of their angelic stories. Lorna Byrne with us, her new book coming out soon, A Message of Hope from the Angels. She's also written Angels in My Ear. I've got to tell you, so proud of our emerging artists that have been appearing on this program now for some time, and I'm so happy that we're able to give them a national venue to play their music. Great job, all of them. Support them. Go to their websites. Look at their music. Their websites are all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Lorna Byrne with us today. Lorna, I also want to thank you for being so enlightened. You know, we need more people like you on this planet. Maybe we wouldn't be in the kind of mess we're in if we had more people like you. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. I don't know what to say to that.
You're blushing, aren't you?
I am, definitely.
So tell me a little bit about Ireland. What are things like now? What's the economy like? How are people?
Well, people are fine, but they are extremely stressed and worried because unemployment has gone way up. The Celtic Tiger has died here, you know, in that way. But yet people are, you know, so grateful for all the good things that they have in their life, but they are very worried about jobs. You know, even my own son-in-law lost his job and is finding it extremely hard to get a job here in Ireland. So all that I can do for him is pray and ask that, you know, somebody will have work for him and employ him. And that's even having the angels in my life every single day. And when I see him and see his guardian angel with them as well, sometimes I do feel a little hopeless myself.
Oh, I understand. That's human. And, you know, we're going through the same thing. Here in the United States too. You know, Lorna, I see life as a roller coaster. There are ups and downs, there are peaks and valleys, and you just have to hold on so you don't fall out of the roller coaster.
You do have to hold on. Like people would say to me, Lorna, you had a terrible, you know, really hard life. But I don't look on my life as hard at all. I think I've had a wonderful life, you know, from the time I was a child right up to now. And I know, you know, years back, life was hard in one sense, you know, because you had to scrape and grow your own vegetables, and you know, it was really hard to put food on the table and to keep warm. But you know, I suppose all of that, and you know, having the angels around me, but we all have the angels around us, and we have to remember that, you know, no matter how hard life is, there's always hope there. There's that light in the darkness all of the time, and we've got to remember that.
Now, Lorna, before we take some calls with interested people or people who may have questions and stories for you, tell me about your views, your perception of fallen angels. I mean, if angels are always supposed to be so good, what happened to this group?
This is the part I actually don't like talking about.
It goes with it.
It does. I know. And I suppose... as you call them, the falling angels, I call it, you know, the devil, because I'm a Catholic. Okay. You know, the evil side, and I know they're called many different names, and I would call him Satan, the devil. He just loves for me to talk about him, because that gives him more praise, more acknowledgement.
So that's why you don't like to talk about
that him. That is why I don't, and I have to say, you know, I'm afraid he does exist. He is real, because God did introduce me to him long time ago, and it was extremely frightening. It was terrifying. And I suppose he does everything possible to make my life as hard as possible, but he can't really. You know, he may be able to break down your body and do all things like that with you, but he can't have my soul, because my soul belongs to God. And I have very strong faith, and people must remember, you know, prayer is extremely powerful. You know, you pray for what you need for yourself and for protection, and you pray for your family, and you must pray for your country as well, because I know America is really in need at the moment after that horrific storm, that hurricane.
Oh, it's very sad. And the worst isn't over, Lorna. You know,
I know, and people really need prayer. And here in Ireland, we feel kind of helpless. We can't really do much. And lots of people feel that way when we hear of a great tragedy like that happening somewhere in the world. But we must remember our guardian angel is all the time, and God is all the time asking us to pray to help to make things easier for people that are suffering. And prayer is extremely powerful. I'd say to people, it can move mountains. It can change the world. We don't pray enough.
Let's go to the phones for you. Gerald is truck driving in Indiana on our wildcard line. Gerald, go ahead. Okay. You're on with Lorna.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Morning,
my
Gerald.
My question is, can family members who have passed be guardian angels, or are they too close? And how do we utilize them to our best ability?
All right, very good. Did you hear that question okay, Lorna?
I did, and what I would say to him is that, you know, when your loved one did die, you know, when their body died, you have to remember they still live because they had a soul. And at that moment of death, the guardian angel took hold of their soul, and they had all the answers at that moment because they could see their guardian angel. You must remember that, you know, the soul of a loved one that comes in and around you, your guardian angel allows that to happen, because you can feel the presence of the soul of a loved one more than you would any angel. Only for you must remember, your soul of a loved one will only come and go, can't stay constantly with you. But the souls of loved ones guides us an awful lot. They give us lots of signs. You will get a feeling, or you might even get a smell, and you know, or it could be something you find, and you know that the loved one is talking to you in that way. The soul of a loved one can't be your guardian angel, because the soul of your loved one is more than any angel. And that's what we have to remember, is because your soul is that speck of light of God. And that's another reason why your guardian angel never leaves you for one second, because of that speck of light that is your soul of God. And that's why angels love to be around us. And because, in a sense, they are in the presence of the light of, you know, that speck of light of God, your soul. So your loved one cannot be your guardian angel, but the angels love when people express, you know, that my grandmother or my mother or my wife or my husband or an uncle or the best friend is their guardian angel. And that's because the person who is missing someone feels the presence of that loved one so strongly. And to me, that's incredible if that's happening to you. I know there's hundreds and thousands of people all around the world that would be saying, I wish I could feel the presence of the loved one that I love that has gone to heaven. And I hope I answered your question fully.
At the moment of death, is the guardian angel with that person, and does it follow that person's soul when it leaves the body?
Yes, the guardian angel takes hold of the soul, and even sometimes before the moment of death, it's not always, you know, just at that time, the guardian angel usually starts to hold on to the soul of someone, unless it is a sudden death, an unexpected, like in a sense, like a car crash or something like that. And the guardian angel does stay with the soul of that person. But after a while, doesn't have to stay constantly in heaven with that person. But the guardian angel can never be the guardian angel of any other soul.
Okay, let us go next.
That is incredible.
Let's go to Paul in Sacramento, California. Hey, Paul, you're on with Lorna Byrne. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, George. Hey, Lorna.
Good.
Hi, Paul.
Hey. So I just thought of a question, too. I hope I can ask it. It should be quick. Are you talking, just for clarification, about the God, Jesus, Bible angels, or are you just kind of using these terms so most people can understand? And my second question is, just how is there any way that these angels can affect the physical world? I mean, is there any way that I can ask my angel to, you know, lift this tractor that's next to me right now, and that way I know that he's there?
Let's take that one first, Lorna. Go ahead. So
okay.
can angels get involved and change things like that?
They get involved and change things, but not in the way that we would like it. Like in lifting the tractor for the man there, Paul. But you can ask for help, you know, for strength, and maybe for you to figure out a way to lift it yourself. Or somebody comes along and, you know, gives you an offer to help you, or suddenly a thought comes into your mind to give someone a call and see could they come over and give you a helping hand. But yet I know at times people themselves in extreme circumstances have been given extra strength to, let's say, we say again, lifting something, you know, or extra strength and courage to, you know, to live life, you know, in that way. And angels do give us signs.
And his other question, Lorna, was, of course, the angels. Are we talking about the biblical type or what?
What way would I say? I'm a Catholic, you know, and when I started to write, that was a huge problem. And I just said to God, what am I to do? What am I to call you? Am I to call you Jesus? Am I to call you Father? Am I to call you Holy Spirit? So many names, because God is called so many different names. And what surprised me when God said to me, Lorna, what do you call me? And I just looked at him astonished, you know, and I just said, God, of course. And, you know, I smile every time I think of it. And he just said, you know, call me God because it is universal. You know, it's accepted through all religions. And I think that is very important to remember. I've never seen any other angels but God's angels. And that other side that you spoke about earlier, that I spoke about even a little bit.
I want to tell you two quick stories. We'll take some final calls. One, a person told me that he was out swimming in the ocean and kind of got swept away, and he was drowning. He was going down, and he's gasping for air. He's underwater. He sees a hand break through the water and reaches down, and he could grab it, and it pulls him up, and he's gasping for air, Lorna, and he's breathing. He's saved, and he turns around to thank the person in the water. And there's nobody there.
The other one was
a woman said that she went out to her garage. Her son had attempted suicide. He was hanging from the rafters. And she said, my God, help me, give me strength. She couldn't lift him. She couldn't lift him at all. She was a little tiny old lady. Yet she said she felt as if angels or someone came with her and lifted him up so the rope wasn't that tight around his neck anymore until neighbors heard her scream. Who is doing this? Who saved the guy in the water? Who helped this woman?
Well, I know the angels are helping, and, you know, the person has cried out for help, and it's not your time to go. It's not the time for your body to die and your soul to go back home to heaven. And I would say to everybody, you know, at different times in our life, God will give each and every one of us, you know, personally, our own proof. But sometimes we find it very hard to share that with someone else. And it is faith. I say to people, I don't know why God chose me, you know, with all the learning difficulties. I still can't read and write very well, you know, in that way. And the miracle, you know, that have happened in my life. I don't know why, George, God didn't choose you, you know, because you listen and you do so much work, whether you believe or not, and why he chose me, just an ordinary person.
I do believe, though, just so you know.
Good.
I do believe. Joan in Raleigh, North Carolina, first-time caller. Hi, Joan, go ahead.
Hi, thanks so much. Lorna, I love you so much. I feel like you're one of my dearest friends, and I've got Stairways to Heaven. I'm holding it in my arms right now. It's my favorite book.
Good. I'm delighted to hear that.
I've had several occasions in my life where angels have come in, but the one thing, and I sent you an email just to ask for prayer, but I don't understand why. I was separated from my daughter in 2002. She was 14, and it was because of a divorce, and her father did a real good brainwashing job on her, and I haven't seen her since she was 14. And I have prayed and prayed and prayed and asked my angels to talk to her angels to bring her back to me, and she's my only child, and her name's Mary, and I just can't get to her, and I don't understand why. I don't understand why things like that happen.
Things like that happen because, you know, when there's a divorce or a breakup in marriage, there can be a lot of bitterness and hate there, you know. But your daughter is the most important thing. You know, you have to forget about what happened in the past and just pray and ask that one day, remember, if she's old enough now, if she is of age, she has the choice. You know, she can decide, you know, to give mom a call. So, or to arrange to meet you someday. And I wouldn't give up on that hope at all, and I would keep on asking. So if there is a way that you can send her a card or anything like that, you should do that. You should let her know that you have always been thinking of her, no matter what happened in the past, and that you love her.
Lorna, why sometimes do some people get their prayers answered? And other people do not.
And sometimes we feel we don't. I could say, you know, when I used to pray and hope that my husband Joe would get well, but yet I was told he would never get well no matter how much I prayed. I don't really have the answer to that. It is in the sense of when it's someone's time to go, all the prayer, you know, won't stop that happening. You know, but sometimes when somebody, you know, I've met many children that would be terminally ill, and sometimes I would be told that they're going to get well. And other times I've been told, no, this child won't get well. God is taking this child home. And just to hear a child say to its parents, you know, Mom, you know, my guardian angel is telling me that he's going to take me to heaven very soon, you know. But we find it very, very hard to listen. But yes, at times when a loved one is dying, you know, and we feel helpless, a lot of us become closer. Our faith grows because we see within the person, you know, whether it's a man, a woman, or a child, we see that the love that they have for God and how aware spiritually they have come as well. And that is because their soul has come forward within their body. It's something that we can't just give straight answer to. You know, I wish I could. I don't know why we feel that one person suffers more than another, but I always say to people, you know, you may think your suffering is smaller than someone else's, but yet it is great to you.
And you know, Lorna, you may be as close to a saint as I've ever interviewed.
I don't know what to say to that.
True. Hey, do me a favor. Spell your website for everyone, because I'm getting flooded with messages here. People want to hear this. You know, go ahead.
Well, it's Lorna, L-O-R-N-A, .com. And if you just look up Lorna Byrne Angels, you'll get it as well.
All right. And we've got that link for you at coastalstam.com. And the books, of course, Angels in My Hair, new one that's coming out, A Message of Hope from the Angels.
A Message of Hope from the Angels.
All right.
And I have put in that book, the American version, a special chapter on America and the American Gathering Angels and how important it is for American people to remember and to realize that you are actually the new race. You are the hope for the world.
Thank you so much, Lorna. You take care of yourself. Here's our next emerging artist, A.H. Radcliffe. The song Exotic Eyes from Memphis, Tennessee.